praise and worship team tonight. Appreciate you all.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, it's good to see everybody tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. So this prayer series has been titled, If My People. So we believe in God that you're going to have a greater revelation when it comes to prayer. What it means to God, because he said, as for me and my house, this house will be called a house of prayer. That's what God says. He says, oh, for all nations. So it's very important on God's heart that we be a house of prayer. Amen. And so in our prayer series, we started out with praise and worship on an intimate level, and you individually in your lives and praise and worship. Then we came back and we shared on praise and worship as in a corporate setting, as a body of believers, and how important praise and worship is in preparing your heart for the service, getting you ready to receive everything God has for you, wants to do in you, impart to you, reveal to you. Praise and worship plays a vital part. And we as a church, when we assemble and come together, our one desire should be for Him. Him and Him only. And that He knows that. And that we are here to honor Him, worship Him, praise Him with all our heart, all our being. As God worshipers, God pleasers, right? And the importance of creating that, what, divine habitation. We want the divine habitation where the power and the presence of God literally shows up, where He reveals Himself to our senses, where He's bringing the unknown into the known realm, bringing the unseen into the seen realm, bringing the unheard into the heard realm. When He reveals Himself to our senses, and you know, nobody has to tell you, He's here. Hallelujah. And so praise and worship, the prayer, praise and worship. And then last week we started looking at the prayer of corporate prayer, united prayer. When the church comes together and the importance of us assembling together, praying together. And just a quick review here. United corporate prayer, we said that it has a leader. Ultimately, the leader is who? The Holy Spirit. But then there is a leader under the Holy Spirit's leading. And that leader is leading the whole congregation. So the congregation has one ear tuned in to the leader and the other ear tuned in to the Holy Spirit. And you are helping and assisting the leader as a whole group to go where the Holy Spirit would want us to go, to address the things He would want us to address, and release our faith at the same time on the same thing in the same place. Hallelujah. So when we said united corporate prayer, it is a body of believers praying together out loud. Say out loud.
Out loud.
Out loud. About the same thing at the same time in the same place. It could be as many as two to a whole company of believers. The church is the restraining force on the earth. Until Jesus comes back, Jesus has authorized, He's deputized the church, the body of believers, to exercise dominion and authority on this earth. So, when the Bible says in Matthew 16:18, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And it also tells us in Matthew 18:18, whatsoever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. We know that binding and loosing there is dominion. exercising dominion and authority on this earth. And we know it's not in the third heaven. There are three heavens the Bible talks about. But Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2, he said he was caught up into the third heaven. We know the third heaven is where the throne of God is. But the first and second heaven, we have the first heaven, which is the atmosphere around us, the air that we breathe. And then the second heaven is where the galaxies, stars, universe is, all those there. Hallelujah. And so we exercise our dominion and authority in the first and second heaven. Standing against, taking hold together with the Holy Spirit against that which is not the will of God in our region, in our area, in our counties, in our communities, in our state, in our nation, in other nations. As a church, God has given us the authority and He wants us to use it. And when it comes to united corporate prayer, the key is what? Unity. Together. We're all together releasing our faith about the same thing at the same time in the same place. And we're lifting our voices, what, out loud together. We are not praying to ourselves. We are not praying for ourselves. And we are not praying by ourselves. This prayer is all of us, just like in the book of Acts. And we began to look in the book of Acts. And where the church began to, what, assemble and pray, because there was much persecution that began to arise. We looked at an example where the church, in the book of Acts, chapter 4, persecution broke out big time. But what did? They assembled together and they began to pray. And what did they pray? They asked God for more boldness. They didn't retreat. They didn't back up. They didn't crawl in a hole. They didn't go in the house, close the doors, pull the shutters down. No. They assembled at church and they got serious about it. They're like, oh, persecution? Hallelujah. We're just going to turn it up even more. Turn up the heat, baby. Ha ha. Glory to God. And so they prayed, and it said when they prayed in Acts chapter 4, verse 29 through 41, when they got in one accord, what happened? The building shook. There was tremendous power made available. The Bible says one shall chase 1,000, two can put 10,000 to flight. What is it talking about, Pastor Debbie, 1,000 and 10,000 to flight? It's talking about the devil and all his cohorts. But when the church assembles together, we get in faith together on the same thing. We release our faith about the same thing at the same time in the same place. Glory to God, it says a tremendous power is made available and is released. This should make you and I want to assemble together and pray. Hallelujah. So that that power is released in our communities, in our neighborhoods, in this county, so that people know that God is here without having to ever being told it. It's known by some of the generals that have gone on to heaven before us that when they prayed, they were serious about their praying, and the power of God would fall in the communities. It would fall when they would go into factories. It would fall when they would get off the trains and start going into the area where they had just prayed. It said within a 50-mile radius, the people knew that God was there. The moment they drove in the area, got off the bus, or got off the train, they knew that God was there. How much more in this day and time? We want people to know God is real. Yes. That they can have a real encounter with the God who created them and loved them, loves them, and wants to have a relationship with them and fellowship. So when the church began to pray, tremendous power was made available, so much so that the building literally shook. The building literally shook. And then we saw another instance in Acts chapter 12 when Peter was thrown into prison, and the church prayed for Peter. And we found out when the church assembled together again and they prayed, what happened? It brought deliverance to Peter, and it activated the supernatural, so much so that an angel was sent to prison, and he led Peter out of prison. Peter couldn't tell if he was in a vision or he was really experiencing it, but he was really experiencing it. It was real to him after he got out the gate, and the gate opened by itself, and he went on out. Woo, glory to God. So we found out when the church prayed, it activates the supernatural on our behalf. Hallelujah. We need plenty of that this day and time, too. I mean, there's chaos, danger, not to put anybody in fear, but this is why you got the Word of God, so that you don't need to be in fear or be fearful. No, the church is supposed to be what? Bold and courageous and strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Yes, we're not supposed to live in fear. And then the church, I want us to look tonight in Acts chapter 16. We're going to look at another incident here, another time when two people got together and they prayed. In Acts chapter 16, I'm going to read from the Amplified and begin in verse 16. Acts chapter 16, beginning in verse 16. Hallelujah. This is talking about Paul and Silas. And Paul and Silas, they're on a mission. They're on a mission for the Lord. Let's start right here in verse 16. It says, "And as we were on our way to a place of prayer." This is Paul and Silas. He says, "Now as we were on our way to the place of prayer." So what were they going to do? They were going to a place of prayer to pray for this particular region, area. And it says, "We were met by a slave girl who was possessed by a spirit of divination, claiming to foretell future events and to discover hidden knowledge, and she brought her owners much gain by her fortune telling." Well, we know right off the bat that fortune telling is what? It is an abomination to God. Why? Because you are contacting the wrong world, the devil and his kingdom you are contacting. So let's go on a little bit. Verse 17, it says, "She kept following Paul and the rest of us, shouting loudly, 'These men are servants of the Most High God. They announce to you the way of salvation.'" Verse 18, "And she did this for many days." Many days. "Then Paul, being sorely annoyed, worn out, turned and said to the spirit within her, 'I charge you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And it came out that very moment. But when her owners discovered that their hope of profit was gone, they caught hold of Paul and Silas, dragged them before the authorities in the forum marketplace where trials were held. And when they had brought them before the magistrates, they declared, 'These fellows are Jews, and they are throwing our city into a great confusion.'" No, they weren't. They were praying for that city. But here goes the crowd lying about Paul and Silas. Verse 21, "They encourage the practice of customs which it is unlawful for us Romans to accept or observe." Verse 22, "The crowd also joined in the attack upon them, and the rulers tore the clothes off of them." That's true humility. They tore the clothes off of them, commanded that they be beaten with rods. And when they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. He, having received so strict a charge, put them into the inner prison, the dungeon, and fastened their feet in the stocks. So it wasn't just a normal prison. They were put down in the dungeon where it's nasty, filthy, dirty. Sewage runs down there. It's just horrible. Verse 25, but about midnight, here we go. Paul and Silas were praying. Here we go. What were they doing? Praying and singing hymns of praise to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. So they were not quiet about this, were they? They were not doing it to themselves either. No, they weren't. They were very loud about what they were doing, praying and singing praise to God. They were not complaining, griping, murmuring about, oh my gosh, here we were doing something for the Lord, set a little girl free, and now we're in prison. Can you believe this, Paul? No, they didn't do that. They were not complaining and griping. At the midnight hour, the worst hour when it seems the worst, felt the worst, looked the worst, appeared to be the worst, they were singing praises to God and praying to God. That's really good. Verse 26. Suddenly. Oh, here's a suddenly of God. A suddenly of God. We talked about the suddenlies of God. Prayer. Suddenlies of God. There was a great earthquake so that the very foundations of the prison were shaken. And at once, all the doors were opened and everyone's shackles were unfastened. You think about that. At the midnight hour, when it was the worst, they felt the worst, they were naked, they had been beaten, they were bleeding, I'm sure it was rough, they was in a nasty place. And instead of complaining, what did they do? They prayed and sang praises to God. And boy, did the power fall. Woo! Here we go. Building shaking, earthquaking, building shaking, earthquaking. Come on now. There was a great earthquake so that the very foundations of the prison were shaken. And at once, all the doors were opened and everyone's shackles were unfastened. So here they are being about their business, praising, praying to God, and the power of God falls in this prison place, in the dungeon, but they were not shy about what they were doing. They were not quiet about what they were doing. They were very loud. They were trusting God, worshiping God, honoring God, glorifying Him, magnifying Him. God all of a sudden shows up. In fact, the prisoners didn't have to guess who it was. God showed up, and then it not only affected Paul and Silas and helped them to get free, but those who were around them and with them also got free. You think about that. The church, two people here, just two people, and they were in agreement. Obviously. And they were praying about the same thing, worshiping God, giving God the glory. The power of God falls, so much so that an earthquake takes place. The prison doors begin to shake. Every door was open. Everyone was free to go. Look at this. Look at this. Shackles came off, chains broken. It says, verse 27, when the jailer, startled out of his sleep, saw that the prison doors were open. So it must have been such a peace in that prison where Paul and Silas were praising and worshiping God. The peace of God just fell in that place that this jailer, he was sleeping. He startled out of his sleep, saw the prison doors were open. He drew his sword and was on the point of killing himself because he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." Then the jailer called for the lights, rushed in, trembling, terrified. He fell down before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out of the dungeon and said, "Men, what is it necessary for me to do that I might be saved?" Glory to God. I'm telling you, nobody preached to them. Nobody gave them the gospel message yet. They were just praising, worshiping God, and praying. Can you imagine? And then the power of God fell. This man got under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, got under the power of God, and he was like, what must I do that I might be saved? Woo, that's what we want. More and more people coming to us saying, what must I do to get saved? I want what you got. It's irresistible. I got to have what you got. Yeah. Hallelujah. Verse 31, and they answered, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we go. Here's the beautiful gospel message. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Give yourself up to him. Take yourself out of your own keeping. Take yourself out of your own keeping. There's too many people that are still in their own keeping. It says right here, take yourself out of your own keeping and trust yourself into his keeping, and you will be saved. And this applies both to you and your household as well. Glory. Hallelujah. So it didn't just stop with the jailer. He brought his whole family in on it. It was so good. I said it was so good he brought his whole family in on it. He couldn't keep it from them. And they, verse 32, and it says, and they declared the word of the Lord, the doctrine concerning the attainment through Christ of eternal salvation in the kingdom of God to him and to all who were in his house. He took them the same hour of the night, bathed them because of their bloody wounds. He was baptized immediately in all the members of his household. And he took them up into his house and set food before them. And he leaped much for joy and exulted with all his family that he believed in God, accepting and joyously welcoming what he had made known through Christ. Was this guy excited or what? Yes. Oh, yeah. That salvation meant something to him, and he was serious about it. And when he got saved and born again, glory to God. So here the church prays, two people, two apostles here, Paul and Silas, they pray. The building shakes, the earth shakes, prisoners' doors are open. So it brought deliverance when they prayed here. It brought deliverance, not only for them, but for the people that were with them, around them, it activated salvation in the people's, in the jailer's life. And then it didn't just stop with the jailer. He wanted his whole family to get in on it. It was so good. Are we out here going out and about in our everyday life and making that gospel look so good to other people? What's real to you will be real through you. Come on now. This is not no dull, boring, religious. No. It's a relationship. A personal, living relationship. And so here we go. We see the church. They brought household salvation, set a girl free who was bound by a spirit of divination. That's something that you do not want to be dabbling in. Ouija boards, tarot cards, palm readers, fortune tellers, psychics, mediums. Let me tell you, that's wrong. It's an abomination to God. You don't need to be dabbling in that. You're messing with the wrong ones, the kingdom of darkness. And when you activate the kingdom of darkness, he will accompany you every step of the way, and you'll find yourself down a road of darkness and don't even know how you got there. No. Renounce it. Ask God to forgive you. It's real. I want to move right on here and read a prophecy that Brother Hagin gave in 1974. Of course, we know he's moved on to heaven. But in this prophecy, he talks about the church. And he said, that he heard a loud voice so strong and clear and a trumpet sounding. And he said, I heard, I am not coming for a church, the body of Christ, that's weak, emaciated, sickly, and underground. I'm coming for the spiritual giant. The spiritual giant that's alive and living and working the works of God. He says, be not fearful. Don't be casting your glance around and about. But look ye up unto him, for he is the head of the church. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And through the church, the head, Jesus Christ being the head, will manifest himself, and men are the hands of the Lord, and the hands are in the body, and he shall stretch forth his hands to heal the sick, that signs and wonders shall be wrought in the name of Jesus Christ. He's coming for a church that is what? Not weak. Yes, hallelujah. The glorious triumphant church. Hallelujah. Church, are you ready for what God is continuing to do on the earth? It's just picking up. He's never stopped moving from Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. When the Spirit of God began to move, the Spirit of God is still moving today. It just might be picking up, or picking up the pace, accelerating even more, but he's still doing and working and moving. Why did Jesus say in John chapter 5? He says, the Father is working, and I also am working. Yes, he did. God has never stopped working, but he's waiting for, looking for those that are willing to work with him. He has to have a body, hallelujah, that he can inhabit and he can express the Father's will through. And you and I are that body. We have been picked, chosen, hallelujah. And the Spirit of God lives and dwells in us. If you're born again in here tonight, you have the Spirit of God in you who's wanting to express the Father's will through you on the earth to make an impact to a world that's dying and going to hell just as fast as it can go. I'm telling you, church, it is time to be about the Father's business. Yes. It's time to be so hungry, knowing what time it is, who you are, what you ought to be doing. John the Baptist knew his assignment when he got here. And when he knew his assignment, he went and he began to prepare the way before Jesus got on the scene. And then he prepared the way so that when Jesus stepped up to the plate, Jesus could take it from there. But John the Baptist prepared the way. And he knew it. He said, I must decrease, but he must increase. Church, it's time that we contend for these things and be so hungry for these things that we not lose sight of these things that our forefathers, all them that were before us that experienced and encountered and had such mighty moves of God and revivals and mighty workings and miracles that took place, and they're still taking place to those who are believing.
That's right.
It's still happening. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to ask you a question. Where are the Elijahs today? The Elijahs that can still call down fire from heaven with their praying. Elijahs that can start and stop something, just like in the book of James. When Elijah spoke and prayed for the rain, it rained. And then he prayed again and the rain stopped. Come on, they're able to start and stop things. Where are the Elishas? Those that are so filled with God and the anointing of God, and you recognize and know and you want to stay full all the time, that when you die, your bones are in the grave and they come and throw a dead man on top of your grave bones, and your bones are so full of the anointing and the power of God that it raises the dead man. Come on now. Where is that hunger that we want to be so full of God and experience and encounter these supernatural happenings? Where are the Daniels that know how to shut the mouths of lions when it comes to prayer and praying? Hallelujah. Where are the Davids that are after God's own heart? The Davids that are extravagant worshipers. Come on now. So extravagant that when they brought the Ark of the Covenant and they moved it to bring it home to Jerusalem, David was so excited about it because the Ark of the Covenant represented the what? The presence of God. That was so, it was so important to David to get that ark back in the right place, because the blessing was there, the power of God was there, the presence of God was there, and all that it represented, that every six steps as they were bringing that Ark of the Covenant home, every six steps David would get them to stop. They would offer big sacrifices and praise and worship to God, and David would dance before the Lord every six steps. And this was symbolic of, come on now, and we have the very power of presence of God in us. It's not about asking God for more power. You got the power. Hallelujah. It's knowing how to release and turn loose the power that's in us. Hallelujah. To go out here and do like the book of Acts, turn this world upside down for Jesus Christ. The Davids that are giant slayers. Come on now, we still got giant slayers here in the earth today as a church. Where are the Marys that say, Lord, be it done unto me according to your word? Wanting God's will and his way more than anything else. Where are the Peters that are so full of God? Here we go again, another one. So full of God that as he walked down the street, if they got as close as his shadow, come on now, they were healed. People were healed and set free. Where are the Pauls that are willing to give their lives for the gospel's sake? Church, it's time not to be slacking, not to be letting up. God is waiting on us. He's waiting on you. We know we're in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. This is the age of the miraculous. God wants to perform signs and wonders through you. Miracles are the dinner bell for the world out there, where God can get their full attention. Once he gets their attention, he can get them into the church, where they can be what? One and discipled for Christ. But he's looking for willing and available vessels. Willing and available vessels. Where are those extravagant worshipers? Come on now. Where are those that said their purpose is to live intentional? Charles Spurgeon, he said, God, I'm purposed to live intentional. Every day I'm going to win somebody for Jesus Christ. He crawls in his bed one night, pulls the covers up, and he says, Lord, I didn't win one person today. I told you that I was going to live intentional for you. Puts his clothes back on, gets out of bed, walks down the street, meets two people, and leads them to the Lord in his own neighborhood. Then he goes back home, gets in bed. He said, now, he says, I'm living intentional. I told you, Lord, I'm living intentional. I'm serious about it. When are we going to live intentional? Serious about our commitment to Christ. Serious about it. Availability. Available when he needs you, not when it's all convenient and you feel all fine and good. No, it might be the time that you feel the roughest and the meanest and God wants to get you to call somebody or get you to go out the door and go down the street to your neighbor next door. Come on now. I have prayed for both neighbors on both sides of my house. Across the street, both sides, supernaturally. In my prayer closet, God begins to deal with me. He opens the door. When you know he opens the door, then you go in. He opens the door, I end up in their house. They were dealing with a very serious situation where they could have lost their kidneys because it was kidney failure. And I said, the Lord sent me to you today. She said, they did. I said, the Lord sent me here to you today. He loves you. He does care about you, and he wants to heal you. I said, if you'll let me lay your hands on my hands on you, he will heal you today.
Amen.
She said, yes. Pastor Chris was with me, took him with me. We went over there, laid hands on her. The power of God fell so strong, I thought I was going to get knocked down. She almost got knocked down. We held her up, and I explained to her after we prayed, I said, that was the power of God. God healed you today. You will not lose either kidney. Sure enough, to this very day, she has not lost any kidneys. Everything's functioning and working fine. It's just knowing and listening to the Holy Spirit. He wants to do these things all the time. But who's available and who's willing? The Bible says in the book of Psalms, if my people are willing in the day of my power, we're in the day of his power, church. We're in it. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to pray tonight at the time we got here, left. And we're going to do just like the early church did in praying for signs, wonders, and miracles. But a body, you are the body, his hands and his feet, that are available and willing to go when he says go, or to who, or to where. So we're going to pray tonight that people, believers, start taking this seriously. It could be a matter of life and death. So I'm going to open up this altar. If you want to come up to the altar tonight, feel free to come up here. I'm